Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I have a very special guest who's going to be on the show today. A young lady who's also a very close friend of my good friend Derek Robinson. I tell you, once we get into it, she's someone special, and I can't wait to bring her on. Or it's going to be exciting. Believe me, it is. So take notes when I bring her in. But listen, I want to talk about Benton Harbor Police Department a little bit. First thing, we put out on the air the question whether Police Chief Dennis or Dan McGinnis should be fired. Well, one of the reasons that I said when he allowed one of his police officers to hit a guy after he had been tasered twice, and he made the statement on the radio and also to me that it is okay for law enforcement to hit someone while they're down. Yeah, he made this, and he's the chief of police, and he's black. I don't know what color he you know, I guess that doesn't mean a whole lot when you talk about black. But I had to talk about this because this is gigantic. And we put it out on the air, and people are voting. We had 1,749 people to vote. So far, like 95, 96, 97, 98% that he should be terminated immediately. And one person said, well, how was the person trained? And that was a very, very good question. Was he trained to do stuff like this, or is this just what they do? This is the conclusion I came to. Whatever they do, and they act like they've been trained to do, just like the knee on Floyd's neck. You know, we know it's not all right. The officer knew it was not all right. But he's going to say that's how he was trained, which is, I know that's not true. But whatever they do, they come up with the alibi that they was trained to do so. But this guy McGinnis, you got to think about him. You know, it's time that he be removed as chief of police for the city of Benton Harbor. And I had a little adventure myself. During this week, I was leaving my church, and as I was leaving out the door of the church, there was gunfire, maybe 15 rounds of bullets. I had no idea who fired. I thought it was two cars shooting at each other. That was my first impression, that it was two cars shooting at each other, and I don't know whether that's true or false or not, or whether this one car shot up this house, but it was about 15 rounds of bullets fired, and I was out there. You know, I heard it, and I kept hearing it, and I kept hearing it, and I said, good grief. And look, and this is about 30 yards from police headquarters. Can you believe it? 30 yards. And anyway, I guess one of the guys that was doing the shooting, they was chasing this other car now because they knew who he was. And the police showed up. The state police was on one side of the street, and Ben Harbor was on the other side of the street, hiding behind the building like a bunch of cowards. They was hiding. because I drove when I drove over there, I wanted to check it out to see what, you know, what was going on myself. I saw the state boys. They was lined up. Maybe been about 10 of them. They was on, and then you had the Benton Harbor Police Department hiding behind the building. And, you know, somebody should have just walked up and took their guns from them. That, you know, that's the way I looked at it. But anyway, the state boys, they won't have nothing to do with the Benton Harbor Police Department because I guess they don't trust them. You know, I wouldn't trust them myself, you know. But it was a lot of excitement. A lot of state boys showed up. They had the whole street lined up, blocked off. They had this whole area blocked off. I just barely got out of the community before they was blocking everything off. And it was something though. It was like the guy had a machine gun or something. He was just, you know, he's just spraying bullets, you know. And I'm surprised one guy they said was wounded. It grazed his head, so he was fortunate that it didn't go inside his head or anything like that. But it was wow! It was wow! One of the things that you hate to see, especially in the neighborhood. I always thought it was a pretty quiet neighborhood, but people say, well, no, it's always some activity over there. So, but I'm never around to see it. So so I have no idea. But anyway, when we think about the Benton Harbor Police Department, you can't call them. Call them, they won't come. And this shooting happened, I would say, about 30 yards from their headquarters. 30 yards. Someone said they had been calling the police for several hours to come, and they never showed up. That's what they said. I don't know whether it's true or false. I'm just repeating what was told to me. They said they had called because they was out arguing. It said it started really the day before that. These guys was arguing. And someone in the neighborhood called the police, and the police never showed up, as usual. I'm surprised they didn't ask, were the people that need help black or white, you see? Because I told you the week before this, we talked about the black lady called for help for a white person, and they never came. It took them 45 minutes to an hour. Then when she called back, the first thing the person wanted to know was the person black or white that needed help. And when she said the person was white, they was there in 2-3 minutes, you see. So this is where we're at, and this is what we have to do. See, also, we're training people right now to carry their guns and to carry it on their side, because I think that it's time that we start policing our own community, because we can't depend on the police. We're paying them for nothing. And when I say defund the police, I mean exactly that. I mean, I don't mean no rerouting the money to social service, rerouting the money to mental health. I don't mean that. I mean defund the police. I mean, we're paying them for nothing. They can't stop nothing. They can't stop anything, matter of fact, you see. And here in the city of Benton Harbor, they don't come. You can call them all day and all night long. They're not going to come. But you'll see them sitting behind buildings eating lunch and talking on their cell phones. You'll see them sitting behind buildings doing all this. But they don't protect the community, you see. They never have. All they're doing is getting free money. That's what it is. Matter of fact, they're stealing money from the community. That's exactly what they're doing. They're stealing money from our community. And when I say stealing money from the community, I mean exactly that, because they're being paid for nothing. It's unfortunate, but 95% of Benton Harbor Police Department is white. Wow, amazing. And even the black ones that's down there, they're not worth a nickel. Oh, there's a couple of them that I do like that, you know, you can call. And they will come. There's two of them. Yeah, I can't say all of them. And I'm wrong on that issue. But but they have to, it has to be their shift in order for them to go out. That's how, if they're not on, then they can't go out. If you call at the wrong time, you won't get anybody. But my thing is this. I was right in the middle of gunplay. 15 shots rang out or more. And the thing is, we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do to make things happen. And my thing is I want people to continue voting, whether we should remove the chief of police in Benton Harbor, Dan McGinnis, or we should keep him. So far, it's overwhelming that he should be removed. But we got until the end of the month. You got until the end of the month to vote. You have until the end of the month to vote whether to keep Dan McGinnis or fire him. I believe we do have the votes to have him removed, but I want the people to vote on this issue. I want them to talk about this issue, and I want them to know that it's time that we clean up this city. And the only way we're going to clean this city up, we must do it ourselves. So right now we are training people to use the firearm and teaching them how to use the firearm so they'll know how. Because, you know, once you get your license, you can wear your gun on your side like they did in the cowboy days. Matter of fact, if you carry it, it's supposed to be conceal it. You know, it's got to be shown. So my idea is that we're going to get people out here who's going to do something, and we're going to start policing our very own community. And I think that is crucial. And here's something that I want people to understand, too. This George Floyd incident situation. Do not be surprised if there's one or two people on that jury, most likely they're going to be white, who's not going to convict George Floyd. I mean, Derek Chauvin. It's going to be, I know, I had several all-white juries. When there was no evidence possible, they will still find you guilty, which is unfortunate. But I want people to brace themselves for this, because I know, I'm hoping that there will not be one or two that's going to say that, you know, by him being a police officer is okay for what he did. But we live in this system, and we must deal with it. And many times we don't deal with this system the way we should. We give them a free pass. And when you're giving them a free pass, this is what happens. George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, these guys, and let me say this. You got a good chance. White supremacists is dominant inside most police departments. I can say that about Benton Harbor Police Department. I can say that and be comfortable. I would say 90% of the police officers here in Benton Harbor are white supremacists. I can say that and be accurate on it. But at least 90, let's say that, no less. Well, listen, it's time for me to bring in my guests. And those of you who are out there, get your pencil and piece of paper together. And Ms. Chapman is going to come on, and she's going to tell us her story. So at this time, let me bring in the one and only Ms. Chapman. Talk to me, Ms. Chapman. How you doing?
You know, Reverend Pinkney, you are the one and only. You, I tell you, I would rather be here than with Oprah. How about that?
Oh, Well, hey, well, you got my vote already on that one.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. But
yes.
Don't let that leak out to Oprah have me cut off the radio, so be careful.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah,
it is, okay.
Like that, Oprah said,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no, you.
Said,
I just want to thank you.
Trying to get on the first thing she said, you through.
Thank you. No, I was excited like I was doing the Oprah show, and I have to tell you, I appreciate you allowing me to talk about this because this issue, it doesn't really allow people like me who are targeted to discuss what is happening on a day-to-day basis any other place. So I have to thank you for that. But it's very necessary for me to talk about it and just be transparent and honest and truthful about what is going on. So basically, I just want to say thank you and introduce myself. I'm Mignon Chapman, and this is very upsetting for me to even have to talk about. It's upsetting. But in order for me to tell you how I got here, I have to give you a backstory of my past and my family. My late husband and I, we used to work with Nelson Mandela back in the 90s. He was my husband for 26 years. And, you know, we were involved in politics. And he worked with Governor Cuomo, and we played softball and, you know, did everything that, you know, we needed to do in South Africa to help anti-apartheid. I worked in the entertainment business, and we worked well together. I was my husband's advisor. So I have to tell you that because it has a lot to do with what's going on with me today. I don't even know where to start. It's so much. But anyway, the reason why I wanted to tell my story is because it's very serious. December 15th, there was an article about me in the New York Times. And, you know, I was home minding my business, raising my son. I have a daughter as well, but my daughter left in 2012. She has issues. She has personality disorder, and she was on drugs. Because of our lifestyle, my daughter was afforded many opportunities. She was in the newspaper with Nelson Mandela when she was a baby. She was in prep school, but she had issues with being an obedient child. So she got into some trouble. She ran away from home. She stole money. She was a handful, but she was our child, and she was my baby. So, of course, I'm going to try to get her all the help that I could get her and raise her. But by the time she was of age, when she left here at 19, there was nothing I could do because she was 19. So apparently she left out of here. She didn't go to the college that I paid for, or she didn't do anything that she was supposed to be doing. I brought her a business. She just left, and she got into a lot of trouble. So apparently she stole from, I think, a church or a covenant house or something like that, and she went to Rikers Island. And she met a lady. I've never met this lady. I don't know this lady. Her name was Annika Lucas. And because my daughter has a diagnosed personality disorder, she told this lady lies. And the lady, I guess the lady just believed everything she said. She told the lady that I kicked her out when she was a young girl, how she was beaten. And my daughter was never beaten or thrown out. The only time my daughter was on the streets was to shop. So I guess the lady introduced her to someone at the New York Times. So they ran a story. Okay. Yep, they ran a story. They never called me. They never called anyone. So when I found out that they ran this horrible story about me, I tried to call them. I tried to give my side of the story by contacting the writer, but he blocked me, and I have a screenshot. So no one wanted to listen to my story, so I had to get a lawyer. When I talked to a lawyer named Henry Kaufman, he said he worked with the New York Times. So I told Mr. Henry Kaufman, you know, since you worked with them, it's going to be a conflict of interest, and he agreed. But he said that he could try to get the story down. And to be honest, I just really wanted the story down. I was in the process of managing my son's career. My son is involved in politics, wasn't involved with drugs. A good kid. You know, we were in the process of working with Jane Elliott, and he was speaking with
Are you talking about Jane Elliott, the one, she's out of Chicago, isn't she?
Well, last time I heard, Jane was in California.
Okay.
She's the professor. She did a brown-eyed, blue-eye demonstration experiment on racism.
Right. I know exactly who she is. Matter of fact, I went to, they named a building after her at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I was there when they did so.
Oh, yeah, she's an amazing person. She invited my son and I to come down and stay with her because my son and I were in the process of trying to get a holiday to unite people of different races. So, you know, things were going well. Like I said, he was in prep school. My son went to Rumsey. He was a good kid. Everything was on track. And then this article came out, and, you know, I had to deal with the article. Now, I'm a disabled person. I have something called narcolepsy and fibromyalgia and something called sleep-wake syndrome. I don't have family. My family and I were not my husband and I, when we met, we had similar family issues. Like, he had a brother that tortured him. I have a sister that, you know, hated my guts because I was born. So we weren't close. None of us were close to our family members. We didn't do drugs. There was no drugs in the house. We were just politically goal-driven. So I don't have family. So like I said, I called the New York Times, and they wouldn't listen. The writer, he wouldn't listen. I was very nice to him. I asked him if he could talk to his editor, and he blocked me. So I have a screenshot of this New York Times writer blocking me from trying to get the story straight. So basically, Henry Kaufman tried to talk to the counselor at the New York Times, but he, for whatever reason, he didn't want to believe. He was thinking, oh, well, why would this girl say these things? Well, because she was a mental institution. And she has a personality disorder, and that's why she said these things. My daughter's been doing this for a long time. And the reason why she does this is because our family dynamic, it's not the proper village. It takes a village to raise children. Our family dynamic, they're, like I said, they're into drugs. My husband's mother and I, we didn't get along. We just didn't get along. I tried to get along with this lady, but I couldn't get along with her, so she wasn't in my life. So our family, for whatever reason, just wasn't in our lives with our children and trying to help our children. So they've seen a lot of horrible things with our family. So I think this is one of the reasons why my daughter did what she did with the New York Times, because it was something learned. So basically, I didn't want to stay with Henry Kaufman. He introduced me to a professor, Rod Smala. Problems with Henry because he wouldn't leave me alone. He was pressuring me. Yeah, he kept pressuring me to keep going with this case, and I really wasn't well. I almost died in 2011. You know, I wasn't well. So in any case, he introduced me to Rod Smala, and I decided to just, okay, well, I'll just sue the New York Times because they weren't taking the article down, and people were harassing me. So basically, the whole thing reeked of bad faith with this lawyer, but I couldn't find another lawyer. Horrible things was happening with Rod Smala. He was always asking me for my password to my computer. It was just, it just reeked of bad faith. So I tried to get out of it. I really tried, you know, to get out of it. But what I soon realized that Rod Smala and the other lawyer, who I only met once, they were working with the New York Times. At a hearing, there was a hearing, and the judge asked me to give my computer to my lawyers because they wanted to check an email. So I gave my computer to my lawyers because I didn't know what they were talking about, and you know, I figured I had nothing to worry about. So I gave my computer to the lawyers, even though I wasn't completely trusting them. Maybe it was a bad thing to do because what happened was my lawyers stole my computer and gave it to the New York Times.
Really?
Yes.
Are you
they
sure?
Took my. Not only that, I have.
Wait a minute. You mean you gave them your computer and they gave it to the New York Times?
For weeks. For weeks. And during this time, their mask came off. Everyone's mask started to come off. David Holland, who was actually working with, I think, the licenses of marijuana distribution, sorry. He came over to my house and took my computer and gave it to the New York Times. They took my computer and copied my entire HDD. They were only supposed to look for one email. That's it. But they took it, gave it to the New York Times. So by the time I got my computer back, I knew something was wrong. And I figured all the training that I had with my husband and with, you know, with my son in politics, I figured I would take all the training that I had and I would, instead of being upset at what they were doing to me on my computer, I would take the opportunity and gather my own separate data. So basically I was fighting with my lawyers. So they made me sign dismissal papers under duress, and they told me to go to the New York Times place and get my computer. And that's what I did. So that's when the real fight began. So this is when I found out, during this time of having my computer back, things were happening to me. They were videotaping me. Someone was videotaping me. I believe it was a person who they gave my computer to as well. His name was Zachary Schnapp. Because the next day, strange things were happening with my computer, which was November 7th. It was very strange. Things were happening with my computer. I got very sick. My son was sick. But I was watching them. I was watching them to see what they were going to do because I knew, like I said, I knew something was up. I never anticipated what I found. I found out that they put a back door on my computer. And
what does that mean?
Okay. A back door is, it's a software using Linux. Basically, what they did was they put these softwares on my computer so they can watch me, because they made me sign under duress. They made me sign dismissal papers, and my lawyers were upset and wondering, well, make sure you don't go on Facebook and talk about this. So basically, Rod Smala and David Holland used Discovery to obtain all of my information so they can put me in this program and put my son in this program. What I found was
did they put you in the program also? You and your son is in the program, yeah. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. We are both in an artificial intelligent program. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
As we know it.
Exactly. And let me tell you, my son and I, we had this argument. It was weird. We were really arguing, and I haven't seen my son since.
How long ago?
Very weird.
Because
3 years ago.
Wow.
I told my son I wasn't feeling well. He said he wasn't feeling well. He was acting very strange. Now, my son is my best friend. We really, during deposition, we really kicked the New York Times butt. Because they wrote this story. They didn't ask anyone. They wrote the story about how I beat my child and threw her out in the street at 13. My daughter, I spent $133,000 on her education out of my pocket. She went to prep schools. She got thrown out of the prep schools. My daughter left here at 19. I couldn't stop her if I wanted to. When you're 18, you're grown. I didn't throw her out. I just paid for her college. She was on drugs. This is what she wanted to do. Okay, I had nothing to do with her leaving. She just left because she didn't want to come home. She just wanted to be with her girlfriend and hang out in the street. Because I basically tried to make sure she graduated from high school and tried to help her. And she really just didn't want that type of life. She wanted to be out in the street. So I'm doing this by myself. My husband died in 2012. Like I said, I had no family, and I just didn't have any support. It was just me, but I was doing well. I had two children in prep school. My son was doing very well. I was very proud of myself. I owned my own home. We didn't have family, but we had each other. So I haven't seen my son, and it's not like him to talk to me the way he was talking. And I have to be honest with you, I felt weird too. It was just weird. So, like I said, this was after I got the computer. So I seen on a computer that someone was videotaping me and recording me. And I seen that they were recording our conversation and sending it to the New York Times. And after that, I went to the bathroom. I cried. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to do my own surveillance myself. And what I found out things that were just unbelievable. I had to be a spy myself. So basically, I found out that the day after they stole my computer, I called the Geek Squad, and I told the Geek Squad, I said, listen, there's someone on my computer. Can you have someone come on my computer remotely and try to help me download something? Because I have a file, but I don't want to open it by myself because things keep disappearing on my computer. So can you just have a tech show up on my computer while I open up this file? So they said yes. So I waited and I waited. Nothing was going on in my computer. So then the tech came on and he was like, hi, Mignon Chapman. Thank you for, and all of a sudden, an invisible cursor tried to take the file off of my cursor. And then the Geek Squad seen it and took the file off the cursor. So now all of us are fighting over this file. So I opened the file. The file had my handler's number on there. It showed that the operation was happening in a T-Mobile corporation.
Network.
Yes. I found the IP address that linked to my lawyers when they had my computer, the dates, everything aligned. So now I'm looking at this documentation. I'm trying to figure out, well, what is all this? Because they put so much stuff on my computer, I had to find out what it was. So basically, after 2 years, I know what it is, and it's pretty horrible. It's damaging. Basically, the lawyers hired some hackers, hired Object Picker to restrict my permissions so that they could operate the back door that was put on the computer. Now, a back door is like a chipper clipper. It's something that they use as a software. It's that they come in from the back, and they can watch you. They can set you up. They can rewrite history. They use another software called Facebook Orca. Basically, the lawyers took all the emails that we had corresponding for the year, and they completely rewrote them. Because I had overwhelming evidence that everything they said wasn't true. My daughter was not abused and beaten for years. And she was a very privileged child. My children went to school with their children. So, I mean, she was not, you know, on the street to be damned. So basically, yes. Yeah. So what they did was they used Facebook Orca so they can rewrite and delete all of my evidence. They wanted to rewrite and delete my screenshot of the writer blocking me, which is damning because why would a newspaper just want one side of the story? They made a lot of exactly. They made, I think, $1 million off my plight. They didn't want to take it down. So basically, they put something called Facebook Orca. Facebook Orca is a software that allows you to overwrite and delete. So Professor Rod Smala, I guess, wanted to rewrite and delete all of my evidence since they made me sign dismissal papers. They also use something called, it's called ARMC7, which is artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence works in tandem with other software. Basically, this software is called neuromonitoring. It's a software that they put on my computer when they stole my computer. This software is a software that allows them to, how can I say this, they could see things, like they could see through your house. There's a platform that they can take over your emails. They can stop emails and block emails from coming in. They can take over your life. So that's what they did. I also found out that they put me in thing called biometric services. This biometric services is damning because the biometric service works with the kernel account. A kernel account is something that they're using for investment services. So basically, my lawyers sold me to the securities biometrically, meaning there could yes, sold me and my son. I found the kernel account. I found the biometric service. The biometric service is used with the police and Homeland Security. It's called Android Team Awareness Kit. Basically, I know we talk about defund the police, but it really isn't the police. There's something going on in this world that people like you who are not targeted don't understand until you're in this program. Like, I'm in this program, and all this software is explaining, it explains everything they did to my computer and what's on there, like a radio wavelength. Radio wavelength works with artificial intelligence where they can control your mood. Like, it controls you. It controls the way you think, and the conspiracy theory that this isn't going on is debunked because the software is sitting right here in front of my face. You shouldn't have a biometric service on your computer because a biometric service on anyone's computer is against the law. It's illegal. That means that you're being surveilled illegally. That means that they have your, that means they have your biometric. It works with algorithms. They're trying to get you into trouble. It detects fraud. So basically, the New York Times didn't believe that I was able to put my children in prep school. They wanted to see if I was lying. So this was their way of detecting fraud because I couldn't possibly put two children in prep school and have them meeting with people like Colin Powell and Nelson Mandela. So, yeah, they freaked out and put all the stuff that I caught them. AOL gave me the documentation with the dates stating that they're watching me, they're changing my emails, they're changing my life, actually. They're hitting me with radio wave tables, something called radio wave tables. And there's a kernel account, which means
that... Is that called, like, microwave tables? Is that the microwave that they use?
Yes.
And you know
they can
do that by a satellite now. They can hit you...
So I found the Microsoft RRAS root enumerator. I found the Microsoft radio device enumeration. I found the Microsoft kernel debug, which means that there's an investment here, perhaps with a CUSIP account. I found a Microsoft GS wavetable synth. All of this works with artificial intelligence. And the police have, the police and Homeland Security, DOJ, they're all working together, hurting us with these devices and these, like, for instance, okay, I also have something called channels. Like, you see it's on my computer, my name's there. What they do is it's a cognitive radio. It's an intelligent radio that can be programmed and configured dynamically. It's a transceiver. It's designed to use the wireless channels so that they can point it at you. So basically, they're trying to hurt us with the VTK, the neural monitoring. I found out that the police are using something called a stingray to have access to our phones. They're trying to, I guess, find something on us because basically, you know, with the New York Times, they didn't find anything on me. Like I said, I had good credit.
But you don't,
I had
don't
a
you know that they can put stuff on you? They can pornography. They can do all this stuff. They got all kind of software that can do things that you never heard of. Matter of fact, they can send something to your phone or send something like it came from your phone to someone else to get you in trouble saying that you said different things and you know you didn't do it. You see,
they did that.
Yeah.
Well, guess
they got
what?
All kinds of
I have,
software.
How about this? How about I have the proofs? I'm sitting over here with the software that actually do exactly what you said. It's called DNS hijacking. And they're use, yes, it's like, I don't only have, I'm not only stating what has happened to me. I'm not telling you, oh, this is happening to me. I'm feeling this. I'm experiencing this. What I did was I went and found exactly what I was given and proved that this is a program that is illegal and killing us and destroying us and slandering us. Actually found the virtual machine that they're using, and it was a fight. It was a fight to get this. I also have documentation proving that T-Mobile is allowing this to happen at their corporation. The dates line up. Everything is lining up that I'm on something called neuromonitoring. And, yeah, so I've been fighting with my handler, who it seems to be that person, Zachary, because when I signed dismissal papers in 2017, they were supposed to go away. But then I found Zachary on my computer in 2018. So if I signed dismissal papers in 2017, why are you on my computer in 2018?
Mm.
So they're busted. So basically, what I – excuse me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, explain to the audience what a handler is. Talk to us about that.
A handler is a person who is signed on to handle you in your life, to destroy your life. My handler happens to be Zachary Schnapp, because the IP address when he used my computer when it was stolen is the same IP address that I have today, seeing him on my computer. A handler is someone who takes on the day-to-day activity of destroying your credit and to basically destroying your life. They do that because someone put your name on a list. They don't want information coming out. Basically, Professor Rod Smalla, David Holland, the New York Times, they didn't want me telling my story. They deleted everything, but what they didn't know was I had copies. I actually had copies of a lot of the paperwork that they were trying to delete.
Mm.
So, yes, and they know that I have copies. So they come into my house. I live in a building. They come into my house, and they try to steal all my stuff. And they succeeded in stealing some things, but I still have overwhelming proof that this case, my lawyers, the New York Times, these are the people who put me in this program. I was sitting here watching the news, and all of a sudden they were talking about cannabis and talking about licenses. And the person who actually put me in this program, his face was on my television. So he's now in charge of licenses. And let me tell you, if he can put me and my son in this program, how are we standing a chance to earn any income with these new cannabis laws?
Mm.
So basically what I'm trying to do right now, I've been very unsuccessful trying to get this story out. It's almost like they see me coming. I've been trying to, like I said to you before, work with Reverend Al Sharpton for a committee, and it's been a challenge. But I'm still, I have someone, Victor Pate, who's working with me to still try to get a committee. But all I wanted to say to you and to everyone who's listening is there's something more egregious going on than just the police. There's a system out here, and it's well ran. It's well ran, and I watch it, and they know that I watch it. Yeah, they threatened me recently because they know that I have all the information. They know that I have proof that this exists, because this artificial intelligence is dangerous. it's dangerous. It's not something that, you know, we need in our lives. It actually puts us back in a slave. I actually feel like a slave over here. Mm. Yeah. I did talk to my son. I begged him to come home. He sounded like he had a gun to his head. You know, I've been looking at the news. You've been watching black people beat up Asians. And it seems as if they're on maybe something called mind control. Now, I did want to talk about Noah Green. Noah Green was the person who...
Well, you know what?
Ms.
Chapman, before you get into that, I know you can't tell it all in one day, but I'm going to have you come back on. So you could talk about Noah Green and your son. So people could see the connection. And unfortunately, I've ran out of time with you. But I tell you what, I won't get you on next week. But the following week, you can come back on and let's get into talking about your son and also Green. So everybody can see the connection, which I think is very, very important. Right.
Yeah.
So we're building up to it, but we don't have a whole lot of time. But listen, Kevin,
okay.
I want to thank you so much for coming on. But look, not next week.
Oh,
well,
Pink, can I give my number out before you go? I would like to give my number out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? Okay,
yeah,
my phone number, because I can't do this alone. It's 201-430-4470, and my name is Mignon Chapman. If you Google me, it's under Deidre, D-E-I-D-R-E Chapman, and I'm on something called Daily Mail. Deidre Chapman sues the New York Times, Daily Mail, and the story's on there as well. But 201-430-4470. I'm looking for lawyers,
right.
So if anyone can help me. Thank you so much. Reverend Pinkney, you're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. And listen, you have a great day, and I want you to mark it on your calendar, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. I want you to come back so you can tell the story, because I think that is very crucial for people to hear that story.
Oh, yeah.
So people can see what's going on. But thank you so much. But, we just ran out of time. We just didn't have enough time to tell it all. But look, we'll get you in a couple of weeks. All right, now that was amazing. She didn't really get to the real good part, but we had to lead up to it. But now I got to bring in my good friend from Detroit, Michigan, the one and only Marcino Cole. Marcino Cole, talk to me.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
I can say this, Mrs. Chapman, she's not the only one looking for a good lawyer. But you know what? It's a lot going on in the state of Michigan, across the country, and the world. And I don't have much time to really speak on a lot. But I definitely want to mention about the state of Michigan still has the highest amount of COVID cases, over higher than New Jersey in the United States. The state of Michigan is number one when it comes down to COVID cases. We have been lax on the restrictions, and Governor Whitmer, which last year she was really tough, and when it came down when COVID-19 cases and having the lockdowns and all that, and a lot of the white wing extremists in the state of Michigan, wanted her removed from office and a recall, because she said she wanted everybody to wear a mask and the social distance and all that, and shutting the schools and the bars and the restaurants. So, and then across the United States, she was nominated for, cover for the Time magazine. She was nominated, not selected, but nevertheless, because of her efforts to make people safe. Now, here we go right now in 2021. You've got Republican legislators in the state of Michigan overall wanted Governor Whitmer out of office. They feel that, COVID-19 is, Mike Sherkis was Shirky, whatever his name is. He's the head majority leader in Michigan. And he felt at one time that it was a hoax this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with him, and he didn't believe on the mask, wearing mask and all that. And now, right now, he's introduced, along with the other Republicans, 39 voter bills. They want to enact 39 bills to have them become law. It's called voter suppression bills. So that's going on across the country in various states. So we talked about that last week. So basically, they want to suppress our votes, make it more harder to have absentee ballots, where you have to show proof of identification. You have identification, whether for an absentee ballot. The Republicans do not want it to be mailed automatically. The Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, normally she would send it to our homes. I received one already, an absentee ballot application. They don't want that. They want to purge people off the voters list. All that and above to keep black folks from voting, because they wanted Trump last year, in spite of the so-called voter fraud that Trump and all his followers said about, and want to turn the country upside down and civil war and all that. Insurgent January 6th, folks dying because of Trump. They wanted Trump in office. Now Trump still ain't in office, and they still going by what he said, that he deserved to be president, and it was all a lie, blah, 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 this. So we still dealing with the aftermath of these white supremacists that want to rule not just the state of Michigan, but the whole freaking country. I don't know why they still in office. And you got these crooks in office. You got the sexual predators, Matt Gaetz, whatever his name is, I think it's GETZ or whatever. He's a congressman from Florida.
Matt,
FBI on him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so listen, he done did all kinds of stuff. He done gone different states.
You know, he's a rich kid, a filthy rich kid.
Well, filthy and white. That's a former.
Yeah.
Can do anything he want without being suffer the consequences, go to jail like most folks do, what he has done, and having sex with a minor, and had nude pictures and all that and above, and paying for prostitutes and all that. He's still in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with Marjorie Taylor Greene still in office. Is a black guy going to run against her, Marcus Flowers? But see, she should have been removed a long time ago. So, you know, we got these crooks in office, you know, and then we had another a legislator, I believe, in Kentucky. He was doing a speed chase with the police. In most cases, with black folks, we gonna die. And we try to escape from the police. And they going to get away with it and still keep their job. Well, this man here, he's under influence and denied a breathalyzer and all that, and they had him overnight in jail. And so the judge claiming that, you know, like was, you know, something that wasn't right about his arrest by the police. So the judge automatically was supporting this guy because he's a politician, a political leader. And so my point is, he was white, and he had the clout. So we got a lot of politicians that's out here that's not for the constituents, it's for them, for themselves, and for the corporations. Same for us. And all they want to do is put super rich folks on a pedestal. They don't want to give us no benefits, no medical benefits, no stimulus check or whatever. You know what I mean? Trump was denying all. I mean, he didn't want us to have nothing. And he just stole millions and millions of dollars from taxpayers and his corporations and all his other friends out here. And he's still trying to run us in the ground. These some evil devil folks out here, you know, and really trying to stop us from having a voice and taking away a democracy. You know, instead of doing positive things to make positive changes and clean the earth and all that, you know, they don't believe in climate change, them folks have lost their mind. But I want to say that back to Governor Whitmer, she didn't soften the tone when it came down to restrictions. She said there won't be no restrictions, no new restrictions with COVID-19. So she's trying to appease these white supremacist folks, which include those folks that's in the legislature that's making decisions for us. You know, they don't care about us, but they're making decisions for us so we won't have any power. So anyway, she trying to appease them. So basically, the restaurant can do their thing, and some of the bars can do their thing. You know, they can have as many people they want. She might say, you know, limited or whatever, but it really ain't up to her. You know, misinterpreting the human health services and all that. The Republican leader in the legislative, basically didn't want Governor Whitmer to have any say-so whatsoever when it came down to COVID-19. They wanted to have say-so for us not to wear masks, blah, 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 blah. So we in the high numbers. Our lives is at stake. So I know Governor Whitmer focuses about the vaccines and all that. But let me say this about the vaccines. We've got all these different types of variants across this country. You know, we got them came from Brazil, South Africa, the UK. The information not really out there whether these current vaccines that we got here in the United States, the Moderna, the Pfizer, and now Johnson & Johnson, which is one shot instead of the other ones, it's two shots. So they basically saying, well, you know, the variants, you know, some of the variants, you know, the vaccination will suppress the variant and all that. They really don't know, Reverend Pinckney. They meaning, you know, some of the scientists or whatever. They claim that it'd be mild symptoms or whatever, but they don't know. Well, we do know the variants are here. So we all need to take precautionary measures whether you want to take the vaccine. People must understand a lot of the politicians is pushing the vaccines out here, but that's not going to rule out the new mutations of the variants of the COVID-19. It's not going to stop from dying, as you can see what's going on in the state of Michigan, other states as well, and the world. You can still see that this is a problem that can last a long, long time for years to come. We're not there yet because we don't want to get there yet. People that they're claiming and whining and dining, and we got over 30 million cases of coronavirus in the United States alone, and over 2 million worldly that's dead. This ain't nothing to play with. So we got to, you know, I'm trying to do my part. I'm taking my vaccinations, one and two. It's been 2 weeks after my second shot. I still wear my mask. I still wear my shield. I wash my hands, do all what I can. And I see people out here, they're acting like things are just back like it was. I don't want to really want it back like it was. What was back like it was, it still is. We still getting killed. We still dying in alarming rate compared to white folks when they get sick and go to the hospital. They go out, they come out the door and be released, be discharged. No. You know what happened to black folks? Like it happened to my son. The funeral home picked my son up because Beaumont Hospital killed him. So I can say that all over again, but it's just not my family that suffered, but other black families as well. We're not treated the same medically when it comes down to medical treatment and health care. So we still got to fight, you know, about the police banging our heads, killing us, and putting guns up there. They still doing that. So we fighting all the time. COVID-19 is going for everybody. You can't see that. But the point when black folks, indigenous folks get COVID-19, most of us didn't come out alive in the hospital and get treated the same way. So I know COVID-19 is still here, and we still got to fight it, and we still got family members and friends that had COVID-19 is still suffering the aftermath of COVID-19. Still got the symptoms where they can't taste and smell. having trouble breathing, still having fever, all that above. So, you know, I know that firsthand because I have relatives that still doing that, and other folks that I've talked to and other people that I don't know, and I saw information about that in the news media about what people are going through with this COVID-19 and the variants. We're dealing with that. They really don't know whether you're going to have a mild symptoms with the variant. And just because somebody's being vaccinated, don't think, you know, oh, yeah, I can do this. I can party. I can be with my friends and all that stuff. No, you still have to have precautionary measures and all that. Still, we still have to stay healthy, eat the right kind of foods. I'm working on that for my own body and all that. I can't put a lot of faith on a one vaccine, which is only going to last, like you said last week and before that, 6 months. They don't know what it's going to do for you.
And remember this, Marcina, remember this. They don't have no clue how long it's going to last because that has never been tested. But they were saying 6 months. If they're saying every 6 months that you got to get revaccinated, that's going to create a major problem. But I'm just going by what I saw on Facebook itself. Someone put that, that every 6 months. I don't know whether it's true or false, but it's the point is, I thought a vaccine lasts a lifetime. That was my way of thinking.
Some of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them do. But see, the 6 months, yeah, that is true because, see, the FDA did not really certify, you know, about Moderna and the Pfizer. You know, this is experimental purposes right now because they had because of so many cases with the COVID-19, for emergency purposes, they said, okay, we're going to release this and have it. But it has not been approved by FDA. And people are like, well, how is it not approved? I said, it's a difference between experimentation and actual, you know, certified vaccination. So they don't have all the answers. They said some of the variants, vaccine, a few of the vaccines was able to control it where it's not as serious where you have to be in the hospital for, you know, if you were exposed to a variant. And the possibility, because you can be exposed to a variant, to go into the store, you go on shopping, you know, or whatever you're doing out there and or being around folks, and they got the variant and they don't know it, they have it. So we got to up the testing of the COVID-19. A lot of people not getting tested. So some people asymptomatically super carrier. So we don't know what we're dealing with. We walk around, we don't know jack. So if you don't know what's going on and you know COVID's still here, why are you out here, you know, having a good time out there in the streets and being around folks 2 feet away from you, talking with no mask, like it's just another day. It ain't another day. We still, these are troubling times, and it's a fight for our lives. And we got to look out for each other as the black community, because right now we have a lot of negative forces against us. It really is, it's unbelievable how evil people are. And so, you know, we're fighting for everything, you know, Reverend Payne. So,
yep.
You know, what can I say? So I appreciate this time. I know you know, didn't have much time, but, you know, at least I got a chance to talk on a little of this stuff that's going on with the contagious variants and, you know, and that's the mutation of the COVID-19, which is extremely serious, and we cannot take it for granted because I'm hearing some cases, some people had actually was tested positive again after they had suffered with the COVID-19. So I'm just
blessed
and I never had it. So anyway, I'm glad you're safe and dealing with what you witnessed in your city, and I'm glad you had that great speaker this evening, and thank you for the opportunity for me for today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I just want to close out. We have had 2,754 people has gave a comment in reference to Dan McGinnis. The question is, should Dan McGinnis be terminated from the Benton Harbor Police Department? And we got over 27,000 people have said that he should be fired immediately. Not 27,000. We got a great amount of people right now saying that he should be terminated immediately, and he's not fit to be a police officer. So we're gonna keep it rolling till May 1st. We want to see how many people who will comment on this, and all they have to do is send me an email, or if you're on the computer, you can get in the chat box and send me a explanation or how you vote or whatever you want to say. But we got to clean up the police departments, not only here in Benton Harbor, not only in Benton Township, but around the country. Because for too many years, and here's another thing, don't be surprised if this guy Derek Chauvin, it'd be a hung jury. Don't be surprised, because they don't like to convict police officers.
That's what pissed me off, and
I know even though the evidence is overwhelming, but yet still, remember he's a white police officer.
There you go.
And that's why I'm training people right now to we made a commitment that what we're going to do, we're going to make sure that people be trained. We want the young folks, before they get felonies and all this kind of stuff, so they can't get a gun. We want them to start showing them how to use the gun and be more productive with the gun than going around and doing drive-bys and all this other kind of stuff. We want to eliminate that. And police our own community, because the police department will not police our community. So we have to go beyond the call of duty and do what we need to do to make sure that we're safe in our own community. Because right now, we're not safe here. We're not safe because they know that we do not have a police department, not only in Benton Harbor, but also Benton Township. We do not have a police department. And what they're doing, they're getting free money. They're getting free money to go hide somewhere. They be in these parking lots in the back, four, five of them just sitting there just talking, not doing anything, and getting still. Black folks don't say nothing no way. All they do is just talk to each other and get this thing.
Right.
But we want to make sure that we start doing something, and we can do it internationally now. We can start doing the things that need to be done and pull people together like never before. On that note, we have just ran out of time.
Thank you, Penny, and I'll vote for him to be fired too.
All right, then you can send me an email, whatever it is. I want people to send emails. I want to talk about it, because this guy, we got to get rid of him. He got to go.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. On that note,
next week, same time.
Sounds good.
Same station. We're gonna have Malak on next week. He's gonna talk about the COVID.
Right.
Yeah, and we're gonna hear exactly what he got to say. All right,
thank
then.
You.
Next week, same station.